to experience the joys and the victories and being used by God just like each and every one of you. And I pray that we'll learn some principles that will help us to be faithful and to be fruitful in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. John chapter 15, and for the sake of time, we won't read a lot of verses, but we'll read just verse number 16, where the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our session now. And I pray, Father, that we would have fruit that remains. We ask your blessings and your leadership now in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. As we think about this subject, about having fruit that remains, I'd like to share with you some principles that I hope will be a help and encouragement to you in the area of reaching people with the gospel of Christ. The first principle I want to share with you is this, is our action. Our action. The Bible tells us here in verse number 16 that God has ordained us that we should go. But the question is this, is how should we go? First of all, we need to be soul conscious. In other words, we need to have just that moving of God's Spirit in our lives, that no matter where we are in life, doesn't matter where we're at in the sense of our location, that we're always thinking about the opportunity of sharing the gospel with people around us. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh unto the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." In other words, what we need to do as believers is we need to lift our eyes up and look unto the fields. Our problem is simply this: we have an inward look. We look at our needs, our wants, our desires, our agenda, our schedule, and we fail to realize that God wants us to lift up our eyes and look unto the fields. And I tell you what, no matter where we go in life, we need to be lifting up our eyes. Now, the disciples weren't doing that. The disciples were inward focused. It was just about them. It was just about, our group. But Jesus was challenging the disciples to have a world vision, to lift up their eyes, and even to look upon Samaria and realize that that city was white already into the harvest. And I pray that not only would we look into our communities, the areas that we minister, and we would see the great needs there, but may we lift our eyes up a little bit higher and see that we should have a world vision, that there's needs all around us, and that as a people and as a church, that we need to reach out to them with the gospel of Christ. As we think about being soul conscious, I think we ought to be willing to share the gospel at any time, at any place, and with any person. All right? If we would just kind of get that ingrained in our heart, that any time, at any place, and with any person, that will help us to be soul conscious. So let's say that together, okay? Ready? Any time, any place, and any person. In other words, listen, you cannot witness to a wrong person. Because Jesus loves what? The world. And Jesus Christ died for everybody. So as we leave this conference center, we ought to be on a mission. Listen, I know we're here to gather and to grow and to get some tools. But listen, I believe that God will lead us across people at lunchtime that they're searching and wondering and they're lost. And what they need is a God-filled believer to share the truth with them. And that's why we're here this morning. We need to be soul conscious. If we're going to have fruit that remains, it begins with our action. We need to have that. We need to be soul conscious. But not only that, but we need to be spirit-led. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. I love the story in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, where Philip was preaching in Samaria and a revival was breaking out. And the Bible says great joy came into that city. You know, the Bible says that the blind were receiving their sight, the lame had strength to walk, and miracles were taking place, and people that were spiritually in darkness, now they became spiritually alive, and God was working. And I don't know about you, Brother Farrell, if you were in the midst of a revival taking place, maybe in Iloilo City where you were this last weekend, it would be hard for you to leave that. Because he said, man, look at what's taking place here. We might even think, you know, God needs me to be here. But here it is. Philip was so sensitive to the Spirit of God. God saw one person on the backside of the desert that was lost, was searching, and was empty. And the cool thing is this, is that the Spirit of God directed Philip to that very person. And I believe that as we are in tune, in harmony with the Spirit of God in our lives, I believe with all my heart that God will direct my life and lead my life right to those that he's already prepared. Did you ever talk to somebody about the Lord and you share the gospel with them and they got saved, and when you walked away, you thought, man, that was easy. And we would say, man, that person was ready. You know what? It wasn't because of you or me. It's because of the Lord. The Lord prepared their heart. It might have been maybe a mom or brother or sister, maybe a pastor, or maybe somebody else that was really doing all the work, and God just directed our lives and we were able to see the harvest. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we think about this, about our action. Let's be so conscious, not only so conscious, but let's be Spirit-led. Let's allow the Spirit of God to move and direct in each of our lives to those that he's already prepared and has already worked in their heart, and all they need is a soul winner to go to them and to share the gospel. But thirdly is this, we need to be steadfast. We need to be steadfast in our action. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Boy, we need to be steadfast. We need to be just willing to keep on going and keep on sharing and keep on encouraging and compelling people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, we need to realize that every time we witness, we may not see someone saved, but that's where we're just going to be steadfast. Listen, it's not us. We ought not be worried about the increase. God says this, we are to sow and we are to water, but God brings forth the increase. But listen, there will be no increase if there's no sowing or watering. If we're not planting the seed, if we're not watering the seed, we cannot expect a harvest. But if you and I, if we're planting and if we're watering, if we're planting and watering, if we're planting and watering, listen, hey, God will bring the increase. But we got to ask ourselves, hey, are we watering and are we planting? Are we planting and are we watering? Because if we're doing that, listen, God will bring forth the increase. So I want to encourage you, we think about our action this morning. Let's make sure we're soul conscious. No matter where we go, no matter where we're at, any person, any time, and any place is an opportunity for you and to me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we need to be Spirit-led, and then we need to be steadfast. So we see our action. Hey, do you realize our action is up to us? Hey, we control that. That is in our strength. I could decide if I'm going to go. I'm going to decide if I'm going to stay. It's up to us. But now we see our action, but here it is. We see our attitude. Do you realize that our attitudes are affected and influenced by our action? So many times our kids, you know, at certain times, they say, Dad, I don't want to go to camp. I don't want to go to, you know, the winter camp or summer camp. I don't want to go to that activity. And we just say, kids, you're going. You're going. And guess what? They go. They hear the preaching. God begins to work in their heart. And their attitude is what? Is changed. They'll come back and say, Dad, thanks for making me go to that. Man, once I went and I was a part of it, and God began to work my heart, and I'm so thankful for that. Listen, there's going to be some times where you don't want to go soul winning. You won't want to. It's like, I'm tired. I got so much administration to do. I got this to do, and I got that to do. And sometimes we just don't want to go. I remember when we first moved out to Lancaster, and Pastor really didn't have a big job description for me. It was one thing, go soul winning. And I thought, well, I could do that. And you know, the first day I went out soul winning for 8 hours. The next day I went out soul winning for 8 hours. The next day I went out soul winning for 8 hours. And I tell you what, it was 110 degrees. And it was called dry heat. It says much better. It was hot. Gospel with. Who should be on your sweetheart list? Number one, those that need to be saved. Number two, those you're following up for baptism. Number three, for church membership. Okay, what do you do with the sweetheart list? You look at it every day. I have my sweetheart list on my cell phone. I look at those names, and Terry's on there. And I look at Terry, and I'll pray for Terry. I'll think about Terry. He's a police officer, so I say, Lord, keep him safe. Protect him. Lord, help me to reach Terry with the gospel. So I'll look at it. It just reminds me of Terry's need for Jesus Christ. So I want to look at it. Then I want to pray over it. And then I want to contact that person every week. It might be just a phone call. It might be a visit. It might just be shooting them a text and say, hey, Terry, want you to know, I was thinking about you today. You know what? That communicates so much to that individual. Number one, it communicates, hey, I thought of them. Hey, they're important to me. Hey, that I care about them. It helps them to understand that, hey, I'm just not, you know, I'm reaching out to them. They have an interest in my life through a personal visit, personal call, or messaging. Number five, big number five, okay, our assimilation. Number one is there, and this is the process of getting people from the community where you invite them to church, and then now they're actively involved, and there's fruit that remains. They're serving the Lord and growing in their Christian faith. Listen, every person needs to own the assimilating process. There's a man that came on our trip to here, and I remember visiting him and his family. Brother Frankie Chocho, some of you, he's kind of helping pastor and just serving pastor and being a blessing to him. I remember Frank when he came to our services for the very first time. He was sitting up in the balcony, and I saw him. After church, I made a beeline for him, and I began following up on him. Had him and his family over to our home. And that was probably 15 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. But I'm so glad that I was investing into Frankie Chocho's life, because now he's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And he has a desire to live his life for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing to his pastor. That doesn't happen by accident. It takes time to assimilate, to help people to grow and to mature and to develop. Here, a couple of thoughts here. Number one, church attendance. Number two, getting connected to an adult Bible class. Number three is discipleship. And number four, getting involved in ministry. I mean, there's people that you led to Christ, and they're coming to church, but they need to be discipled. Well, I tell you what, pick up one of those continue books and sit down with them maybe on Sunday afternoon or Wednesday before church or whenever you have discipleship for your church. And sit down and begin mentoring and helping them to grow in God's word. So we see our simulation, but number six is this, is our assessment. And we're going to end right here. But I want to give this to you because I think it'd be very, very helpful, very practical, but it'll help us. Number one is this. We need to evaluate our progress weekly. Now I'm talking about our personal soul winning. Now, not Lancaster Baptist soul winning, okay, but my soul winning. What am I doing? Okay, couple thoughts, okay? I ask myself questions about my own personal soul winning. I'm not sure if these are in your notes, are they? No? Okay. If you can, write these down, okay? Just they're going to be like seven questions I ask myself. Number one. Did I go out soul winning this week? I believe that God wants us to be fruit-bearing Christians. God wants each of us to have fruit. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Okay, so I ask myself, okay, have I gone out soul winning? Number two, have I been praying and asking God for souls? The Bible says we have not because we've asked not. Number three is this. When was the last time I led someone to Christ? When was the last time I led somebody to Christ? Number four, did I ask the question this week? And the question I'm referring to is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd spend eternity in heaven? Listen. If I'm not asking the question, I'm not seeing people saved. It's easy as that. I might be going out and I might be inviting people to church, but if I'm not asking the question, people are not getting saved. So as I evaluate my own personal soul winning, okay, I'll ask, okay, did I go out? Have I been praying? When's the last time I led somebody to Christ? Did I ask the question? Number five, have I been faithful in my follow-up? There may be times I'll have to go back to a home 15 times, 20 times, 50 times before I see that person saved. But have I been faithful in my follow-up? Next, have I had them into my home for fellowship? And the last question I ask myself is this. It probably should be the first. Is there known sin in my life? And normally, as I walk through those seven questions, the Holy Spirit normally convicts me about one, two, or three, or four of them. Because listen, God's plan is not broken. What's broken, sometimes it's me. Number two is this. We need to make the adjustments along the way. So in other words, whatever the Spirit of God impresses upon your heart, can I encourage you by faith and by courage to make those adjustments? And number three, we must keep the main thing the main thing. I love telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I want to share the gospel with others. But not only that, I just don't want to just share the gospel and maybe lead somebody to Christ. But I also want to have fruit that remains. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us to have fruit that remains. Lord, may we be so conscious. May we have the right action. May we have the right attitude. Father, may we have the right approach and Father, may we make those adjustments that we need to make. May we have that accountability. And Father, may you use us so that lives could be impacted for all eternity. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.